A Place for Jazz is a non-profit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to presenting the best in jazz in the Capital Region. It was founded by Butch Kahn in 1987. Programs include concerts, public workshops, school-based clinics, a jazz website, and general support of jazz and its musician. A Place for Jazz presents a special Jazz Appreciation Month concert featuring Nick Hetko on piano, Rich Syracuse on bass, and Jeff Siegel on drums. The trio will also be celebrating the release of their new album, When You Were There, dedicated to their mentor, the late, great Lee Shaw. The concert takes place April 12th at 7:30 at the First Reformed Church in Schenectady. Our very own Tim Coakley, host of the Tim Coakley Jazz Show on WAMC, is here to tell us more about the concert and about A Place for Jazz in general, and it's a great pleasure to have our buddy Tim with us on the show. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks very much for having me on.
I love having you on the air. How long have you been doing your show here?
Well, I think I started about the same time as A Place for Jazz, 1987.
1987. Yeah. So that's a good long time, a good long run.
Yeah.
So give us a sense of how A Place for Jazz came about.
Well, Butch Kahn, who was a wonderful person, was at the Van Dyke restaurant in Schenectady listening to Earl Father Hines, one of the pioneers of jazz piano. And he was bugged by the fact that there was chatter going on from the dining room. Glasses were clinking, and you could still smoke in restaurants in those days, in the mid-80s. In fact, I have an ashtray from the Van Dyke. So he said there ought to be a place for jazz where people could just go and listen uninterruptedly and not be bothered by distractions. And so he was a member of the Unitarian Society in Schenectady, and they have a wonderful great hall, as they call it. It's a circular room, great acoustics. It's a domed ceiling. And he started putting on jazz concerts there in 1987. It started with Lee Shaw, in fact, I think.
And, I mean, Lee was such a fixture.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Amazing personality and amazing performer.
She played there more than once, I think, for part of the series.
Yes.
I think I know she did.
Why is it important, do you think, to have, I'm going to say, why is it important to have a place for jazz in general, but this particular place for jazz?
Well, we've gone through, as you can tell, a number of great concerts over the years. We have so many wonderful musicians, all of whom are posted on our website so people can go and look. Well, we've had so many wonderful musicians. It is a great place to play. The musicians love it because the acoustics are terrific. The audience is attentive, and everyone who's played there has enjoyed it. And there are so many wonderful musicians out there that we have no doubt that we'll be able to bring them for many years to come.
What have you noticed in your time? I mean, in your great run of the type of jazz that comes in, or the trends, what you see, what you look to bring.
Well, one of the things we've noticed is a number of jazz musicians from other countries. We've had musicians from Latin American countries, from the Middle East. We had Anat Cohen, who was an Israeli saxophonist last fall, wonderful player.
Mm.
And we have a number of wonderful Latin jazz performers over the years. In fact, Butch was in love with Latin jazz. He tried to have a Latin jazz concert every year. So that's one thing, is the number of musicians from other parts of the world who are taking up jazz. And, of course, there's changes in the way jazz is performed as well. Musics from other countries are being used as a basis for jazz improvisation, for example, by musicians from those countries. I just got a couple of CDs in last week. One was from a gentleman who was born in Armenia, and he's made a jazz album of piano music based on Armenian folk songs.
Mm. And it is, so with that in mind of what you just said, what is the universal nature of jazz, do you think? I mean, we think of it very much as an American art form,
mm-hmm.
but there is obviously a geographically universal sense to it.
Well, it's certainly taken root in other countries. Jazz is appreciated in so many other countries, American jazz, and a lot of American musicians lived in other countries for a long time. And the musicians there, the local musicians, picked it up and added their own flavor to it. So I would say it's universal in the sense that rhythm and melody and harmony is universal. It's just that it's being used in a lot of different ways, new ways, that some of us aren't used to, I have to say.
So do you have to, for all of you that are responsible for booking the music that comes in and having this place for jazz, do you always have to like what you book?
Not necessarily. In fact, we gather every January a group of people. We call it the advisory committee. And we each bring a couple of CDs in of performers we'd like to hear. And as you would expect with that many people,
yep,
there's a wide range of choices.
Sure.
Some of the younger people who come to our advisory committee meetings bring in some people we've not really heard before. And they play some music that you might say is a little bit outside. But we try to accommodate that, and we try to accommodate the more traditional approaches as well. We only do 5 concerts in the fall, so we can't really cover the whole scope of jazz in one season. But over the years, I think we've done pretty well in doing that.
And what about audiences? Are audiences open to hearing all new things, or do they like the familiar?
Well, I think our audience does like the familiar by and large, but they also come and listen with open ears to some of the younger players and what they're up to. And some people leave at intermission. Some people stick around. But we don't hold them in.
No, it's not a hostage situation or anything. But there is there is an appreciation, I guess, for new music and of understanding it and I know I've heard old timers who've been doing this for years and years and years, great musicians who go out and they say, all right, I'm going to play a new song which I know you don't want to hear, but I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
But that's good for us, isn't it?
Well, I think so.
As an audience?
Many of the musicians have written compositions that they want to play, and they mix them up with standard tunes or familiar songs.
Yeah.
But yeah, most of the young musicians are composers in their own right that we get. They have sometimes whole albums of their own music.
Do you like the state of jazz today? Are you happy?
Well, I am, because I get to hear a lot of it, and especially here in the Capital Region, I was looking on. We have a website calendar at A Place for Jazz, and I was looking on our calendar this morning. And this Friday night, there's 12 different places you can go in the Capital Region to hear jazz.
That's
terrific.
Of
one kind or another, featuring local musicians. In some cases, musicians from out of town. But there's a great cadre of local jazz players and singers in this area.
How often do you still go out and do and perform?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a gig tonight, and I've got a gig Sunday.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not even the radio gig.
No, I'm talking about playing the drums.
And then you do the show as well.
Yes.
Yeah. And what was the, when you set out with the show, what was the original intent with that?
Actually, when we started, I had a colleague, Byron Nilsson, and I did the show together. And we called it Jazz VSOP, which was... means very special old port, I believe, when referring to alcoholic beverage.
Yes.
When there was a label, a jazz label called Jazz VSOP. And
if Ray Graffin knew, if we knew that we could name our show after alcohol, I think we would have had a whole new, this would be a different program.
Don't make sure that door is locked.
the IPA roundtable. Go ahead.
But Byron left after a while. He had a number of different things that he was interested in. And then I just started playing. At that time, I was using mostly long-playing records, some CDs, and it was from my collection for the most part. We had a good collection here at WAMC, which I could draw on from time to time, but it was mostly, I would say, music that people would say, oh, that's jazz, when they heard it.
Yeah.
It fell into the category of music from the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s.
And you still, you put the show together, and you're still having a great time?
I am. Every week... Saturday morning, I come in and bring in a batch of CDs. I always get some new CDs here, which I like to work in and mix in some old things as well.
Well, it's always a pleasure to listen to the show. It's always a pleasure when I get to see you during the week. And really a lot of fun to hear about A Place for Jazz, which is taking place. You got all kinds of concerts. April 12th, 7:30 at the First Reformed Church in Schenectady is the upcoming concert. You can find out more by going to their website, aplaceforjazz.org, aplaceforjazz.org. And, of course, listen to Tim Coakley on the Tim Coakley Jazz Show right here on WAMC. Tim, it's always a pleasure. Great working with you, and certainly wonderful to have you on the program this morning.
Well, thanks, Joe. I'm glad to be
here. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Tim Coakley and the Jazz Show, and don't forget the concert taking place April 12th at 7:30 at the First Reformed Church in Schenectady, aplaceforjazz.org. We'll be right back.